Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us today and giving us understanding of your word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we're looking at Shin, the Hebrew year. S-H-I-N is how it's spelled. You see the flame behind you, the emblem behind you, the three pillars. It just said to represent the three pillars or columns of the tree of life and the flames that are coming out. We're going to look a little bit about this divine flame, this revelation today. Is what we're going to be speaking of today and whatever else the Lord puts in our heart. But this is the year 5781, and as we talked about earlier, why do we take the time to, why is it significant to us for the Hebrew year? Because they're the root, yes. And we've been grafted in, and we get our nourishment from the root. It's the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that we serve, right?
Amen.
He's the God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So let's just do a little bit of review here. Shin, both the tooth, I'm on page 2 of the last notes I gave you. Both the tooth and the fire meanings refer to it as a process of transformation. We spoke about this last week. Breaking down, building anew, the firing of a clay pot into a form. Now I gave you notes on that on page 3, that you look at that in your own personal time. We might get back to that at a later date. But look at that on your own personal time about building anew. Remember Jeremiah, that famous passage in Jeremiah 18, as you have noted on page 3 in your notes, where there's a discussion with the Lord in Jeremiah between the vessel can't say, why did you make me this way? Why did you form me this way, Lord? It's a process of firing the clay pot into a form. We're clay.
Yes.
We're made of the dust of the earth. Mm-hmm. We can't say to the maker, why did you make me like this? He wants to transform us. The whole process of transformation, healing, breaking, and restoring is what Shin is about.
Yes.
The fire also represents the unchangeable, the unmovable, and thus a symbol of divine power. Mm-hmm. Okay? See, the flames here represent the unchangeable, the unmovable, the divine power of God. Okay, and this is my little note here, and I gave you a footnote at the bottom. When you see a little asterisk there in your notes, these are my notes on this, my take on this as I was reading and how it influenced me. But I did give you the website address there so you can go, and I documented this source because that's only right to do. That's right to do. And as Carmen shared this with me, and I shared with you that Carmen connected me with these notes, sent them to me, and from there I wrote this for us. The spirit of man, now just, let's read without those little brackets there because they're mine, those little. The spirit of man, by the power of Holy Spirit, I didn't quite do that right, did I? Let's read it again. The spirit of man influenced by Holy Spirit constantly transforms the matter. Yet the spirit remains unchanged. Okay, this is what this gentleman's note said. The spirit of man constantly transforms the matter. Yet the spirit remains unchanged. Okay, let's look at it. That's why I put those little asterisks in there for my thoughts. The spirit of man influenced by Holy Spirit, because God breathed into man in the beginning and made him a living being. He breathed this breath of life in him and made him a living soul. So that spirit's in every man. Every man has a spirit.
Yes.
Amen. That will return back to God.
Yes.
It came from God.
Yes.
And it will return back from God. It's out of our soul where we make our choices. But the spirit will go back. Your soul will decide whether heaven or hell.
Yes.
Your soul decides your destiny. It's like what Mr. Laura says. It's like a battle in you, between your spirit and your soul. You decide which one wins. The one you feed is the one that wins.
Yes.
The one you feed is the one that grows and wins. Mm-hmm. The spirit of man influenced by Holy Spirit constantly transforms the matter or the man.
Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Mm-hmm.
When I allow Holy Spirit to influence me, yet the spirit influenced by Holy Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, yet Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, right? Remains unchanged. my spirit man is always being changed, influenced by Holy Spirit, but yet Holy Spirit never changes. He has the power to bring change, but he's unchangeable.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's keep on going. This gets even better. And it gets better explained as we go on. All of life is a process of learning. And that's why I put there being taught by the Lord. To align with his unchangeable nature. That's what life is about. It's a process of learning, being taught by the Lord, by Holy Spirit, to line yourself up. To line, get your whole life in line with his unchangeable nature. Shin is the flame of the Spirit, which we must keep always burning within us. That's the flame of the Spirit that we must always keep burning within us. Okay? Let's go to the next part. The secret of the Shin is in the flame, which I call the divine revelation, bound to the coal. Now, in the notes about this year, they speak about the coal. And we're going to look at why they talk about the coal. Okay? He says here, the secret of the Shin, the flame. The secret of the Shin is the flame. Look here. This is the secret of this year. It's the flame. Mm-hmm. The fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Those that allow the fire to touch their life this year are going to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go by deeper glory to glory. They're going to go deeper in the glory, in the walk with God. Amen. Those that allow their life to be touched and transformed. The fire is for transformation. It's not for show. It's for transformation. Amen. It's for God to show off in you. Not you show off you, but for God to show off. Isn't that what we all want God to show off in us? Amen. Amen. The secret of the Shin is the flame, divine revelation bound to the coal, which is the divine essence. So, the flame, look here. Look here. Everybody look at me right here. The flame is the divine revelation. The coal is the divine essence of who he is. The essence. The flame is bound to the coal in that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's good because we need to learn it. We need to really get it inside of us. Okay. Coal, there's three dimensions to coal. You have the outward coal, you have the inward flame, and you have the outward flame. When the coal, not talking about charcoal, talking about coal, that nature, and isn't it interesting, I'm going to go here with this, so keep your mind on the Lord when I say this. Just keep your mind on the Lord. Isn't it interesting that with our commander-in-chief during the first four reigns, he opened back up the coal mines that had been shut down in Virginia? I'm telling you, that is just not in the natural, y'all. Yes. That is prophetic.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going on. I'm just going on. That's all I got to say. I'm going on. Okay? The Lord showed that to me last week. Okay. So the coal, there's three parts to the coal. I'm not talking about charcoal. Once I'm talking about the coal, that element found in the earth. Inside of it is an inner flame that when it was blown on, releases the outer flame.
Mm-hmm.
You see the spiritual application? The coal has an inner flame. That's the essence in it. It's the essence. If that coal is on the inside, the divine nature, look at this spiritually. The divine nature of God. In us, when Holy Spirit moves in us, so to speak, blows on us, the flame is released, and guess who gets changed? We do. The inner essence of who he is does not change. I am God, and I change not.
Amen.
He said, amen. And we're going to look at those notes in just a minute. So let's read. I get so excited about this. Hallelujah. The secret of the Shin is the flame. That is the divine revelation of who he is, bound to the coal. The divine essence, okay? The essence of who he is in us. The essence of who he is in us. The flame, you can't separate, you cannot have the flame of fire of God without the essence of who God is in you.
That's right.
That's like the seven sons of Sceva who tried to do something in the name of the Lord, tried to cast the devil out. And the devil spoke and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? The flame cannot operate without the essence of the divine within it. Out of the essence of the divine within us is where we operate from.
Yes.
Glory. It's what the Spirit of the Lord was saying today through Dolores over and over again.
Yes.
We're made in your likeness.
Yes.
We're made in your image.
Yes.
glory to God. The divine essence of who He is, that divine essence is in us. I need some water. Glory to God.
You'll see fruit with people that they use the name of Jesus, but they don't have the fruit of the fire.
The secret of the Shin is the flame, divine revelation bound to the coal, divine essence. A simmering coal actually produces an invisible flame within it, y'all. Within it. Which emerges and ascends from the surface of the coal when the coal is blown upon. The three levels, coal, inner flame, and the outer flame, corresponds to the secret of Shin. One of the meanings of the word Shin in Hebrew is Shenu, which means change. The coal symbolizes, and this gets really beautiful here. It's going to get bogged down. We're going to talk about it and explain it. The coal symbolizes changeless essence. The coal symbolizes changeless essence. Why is that? Because what is inside of the coal does not change. The inner flame that is in the coal does not change. It remains there. Thank you. The coal symbolizes changeless essence. The secret of the verse, I am God, and I have not changed. Meaning that God, you know, truth is not relative. Mm-hmm. Truth is not relative to what I want truth to be.
That's right.
Truth is God.
Yes.
There, you know.
Truth is truth.
Yes, it is truth.
Truth is truth.
And God is the only one. He's the author of truth. He says He desires truth in the inner man. Mm-hmm. The only truth we have to guide our life is God's Word. There's no in-between. There's no gray. There's no gray with God. God's made it very clear in His Word that this is truth. I am God. I have not changed. Meaning that relative to God's essence, and that's why I put Jesus, the essence of God is Jesus. And then what Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at these scriptures. Mm-hmm. Who was the expression and the image of God that came to the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Jesus. He's the essence.
Yes.
Okay. I am God. I have not changed. Meaning that relative to God's essence, that is Jesus, absolutely no change has occurred from before creation to after creation. Mm-hmm. Stop. There has been no change in God from the beginning to now.
No.
The essence of God is Jesus. Who was there in the very beginning when everything was created?
Jesus.
The Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Creation. Okay, the inner flame, and we'll talk about this, is the paradoxical latent presence of the power of change within the changeless. The changeless one brings change, yet he remains unchanged. Mm-hmm. The outer flame of the Shin is continuously in a state of motion and change. So, I went and looked up these words. You just don't read something and just say, oh, that's good. You need to understand it. What is paradoxical? A paradoxical is having to do with a paradox. What's a paradox? It's a statement that seems to say two opposite things. The changeless one is bringing change. Got it? Got it? And when I said the inner flame, which is the Shin, the inner flame represents the flame of God in us. Got it? Okay. The inner flame is a paradoxical latent. What's a latent? A latent is present but not active. It's hidden or concealed. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah. See, the whole plan of God was hidden and concealed in Christ.
Yes.
Oh, the essence of God.
Yes.
The very life of God was hidden in Christ. Well, what does Colossians tell us? Colossians tells us, as far as this world's concerned, we are died. We have died. And our real life is hidden with God in Christ.
Oh.
With God in Christ. So we were hidden in Christ when He was here in the earth. Before you got here physically, you were already hidden with Him in Him. You were already in Him because there's nothing that's made that was made by Him that wasn't made by Him or for Him or through Him for His glory.
Yes.
Amen. So this presence that seems to represent two things that contradict this changeless presence that's always bringing change in our life. It's hidden. It's concealed. It's concealed just like it's hidden and concealed inside the coal. So this presence, this divine nature of God is hidden in us. But it's meant to be blown on by the power of Holy Spirit. So the flame can be released to bring change in us and through us to others. Fire just doesn't affect one place. It spreads. If it can't be contained, then it spreads wherever. Jesus said, I've come to start a fire. Yes. That's what he said. He said, no, that I wish it had already been started. Mm-hmm. That's what he said in the gospel. Mm-hmm. I've come to start a fire, he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's look at this flame. The divine revelation, the divine go to page 3. The divine revelation, the divine essence. I say this is passion. I say this is passion. Go to page 3. While you're doing that, I'm going to read this for us, which we're going to study this. We're going to look at that. We're going to look up those scriptures. But I want to read this for you because I feel like this is very much connected to what we're looking at right now. And that is something I've, in the utmost for its highest by Oswald Chambers, there's a devotion that I am reading. And I picked back up, and I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. Talking about the fire, the flame that is in us, the divine source that is in us, the essence, the divine essence of God. Remember, go back, let's review. Let's review. So as we go forward, we got this. The flame is the divine revelation. Okay? That's the divine revelation. But the coal is the divine essence. The divine essence is the source of the flame. Mm. Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay, keep that. Keep that in mind as we go forward, okay? Oswald Chambers' thoughts on repentance. The foundation of Christianity is repentance. Strictly speaking, a person cannot repent when he chooses. Repentance is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. That's been my prayer for my brethren. God, give us the gift of repentance. God, give us the gift of repentance. It's a gift from God. The old Puritans would pray for the gift of tears. If you ever cease to understand the value of repentance, you allow yourself to remain in sin. Examine yourself to see if you have forgotten how to be truly repentant. And he goes on to say, all my fountains are in you. Stay at the source, closely guarding your faith in Jesus Christ and your relationship to Him. This is going to mean something going forward in just a minute. Stay at the source, the divine essence in you. Stay at the source, closely guarding your faith in Jesus Christ. What was the one thing that Jesus prayed for Peter when Peter knew he would betray him? Before Peter even knew it, Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you, that your faith would not fail you. And when you come through, go and strengthen the brethren. Stay at the source, closely guarding your faith in Jesus Christ and your relationship to Him. Mm-hmm. Guarding your faith in Him and your relationship to Him. You getting that?
Yes.
Stay close to the divine essence, the nature of God, Christ Himself, the Spirit of God Himself that is in you. Guarding your faith in Him above all else. Guard your faith in Him and your relationship to Him. Don't let anything or anyone come between you and your relationship with Jesus. If you do that, there will be a steady flow into the lives of others with no dryness or deadness whatsoever. Be steadfastly true to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, in another one of the devotion, Oswald says something very interesting that I had to scratch my head at. If you've ever read any of this stuff, it's kind of deep and you have to stop and think about it and go back on it. He said, he talks about, we have a high priest who's touched and moved by our infirmities. Because remember, he himself was tempted in all points without sin. And then Oswald says, he says, this is not the same thing as the sin found in James chapter 1 verse 14. What's the sin in James chapter 1 verse 14? That is talking about when you were in, when you were a sinner, before you got born again. You were led off by your own lust, then you gave in to sin, and sin birthed something. And what sin birthed was death. Okay? Because the wages of sin are death. Interesting, he said, Jesus, this is not, this prayer is the high priestly prayer. Well, to have a high priest, you have to be born again and in covenant with God. So what is the temptation of Jesus? I've always thought about it. Are we talking about any temptation that comes our way? No, he's not. If we're a believer and we're tempted in any way to draw off our own lust, then we need to do it. We need to do a check. A check and see, you know, there's a difference between being a Christian and being a believer. That's why I say I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, because I'm growing up into the head who is Christ. Someone else has to call you a Christian. Mm-hmm. I call myself, when someone says, oh, you're a Christian, I said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus with all my heart. That's who I am. Okay? Okay? So he goes on to say, and it's warm in here, but he goes on to say, what is, and this makes so much sense, and this is going to go in with what we're talking about. He goes on to say, so what temptation was Jesus talking about? When he says, we have a high, was Paul talking about, or whoever the author of Hebrews is, some people think it's Moses, some scholars say it's Paul. But anyway, it doesn't matter to me right now, but what was the author, what was he trying to express when he said, we have a high priest who's touched by all of our infirmities, who was tempted in all like manners like us, but without sin. Well, it can't be the sin of being drawn off to his own flesh, cause, on his own lust, because Jesus didn't. He did, of course, like drawn off in lust. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. Because he was a spotless lamb, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so what is that? He goes on to say that temptation was to, the temptation he faced was against the enemy to cause him to lose his faith or his confidence in God.
Oh my! That's why it's so important.
His faith and his confidence in God. God had made him some promises. Mm-hmm. You will not see Sheol or the place of the dead. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's why he said, the psalmist said, David wrote prophetically, he said, now all my pathways are pathways of life.
Yes.
Forevermore. My path are pathways mm-hmm. of life. So he says, it's the same thing with us. Our high priest, if we're born again, then Jesus is our high priest. The temptation is not to be carried off into the lust of the flesh and doing that and that. The temptation is to, when Satan comes with us, against us, it is to deny the life of Christ that is in us. It is to deny the power of God or the movement mm-hmm. or the flame or the divine essence mm-hmm. of God in us. Because once we do that, did Satan not tempt Jesus in those manners?
Yes,
he did.
Yes,
he did. He did tempt him in all those manners.
Yeah.
The life. To deny the life. That's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To deny the life of Christ that is in us.
Yes.
To deny that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes.
That's a temptation that Jesus as a high priest lives to intercede for us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pray that. He doesn't pray that for sinners, y'all. This is the high priestly prayer. This is different than James 1:14. Y'all hold all your questions at the end. I see hands, and I'm gonna give you a chance in the end. Okay. Okay. So I thought that was good. That was a revelation. That brought me understanding. I never saw that way before. That's what the enemy's always against. That's what he's always after. You know, he's after getting us to deny Christ and to walk away from Christ. He's after what Jesus said concerning Peter. I pray for you that your faith in me would not fail you. Amen. Okay, Garden of Gethsemane. That's where the temptation was for Jesus. And then he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. The life God, because Jesus is the life of God. Amen.
Yes.
He's the life of God. When you've seen me, you've seen God.
Are you recording this?
Good.
When you've seen me, you've seen God. Okay, so I'm going to go on to my next note, and then we'll get back to page 3, I promise you. I want you to turn to these scriptures, and these scriptures are also your blessings. Your blessings. So you've got several scriptures here. Staying close to the source. Fountains. And the Lord took me to fountains. All of us, if you've been in church long enough, and if you've heard worship music long enough, you've heard the song, All My Fountains Are in You, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you heard that? All My Fountains Are in You. What does that mean? I'm so glad you asked. Now, let's look at that. Psalms 36:9. Okay? Psalms 36:9. If you want to jot these down, you can go back later. And you can look at them. But Psalms 36:9, these are the blessings, Carolyn. Psalms 36:9, Proverbs 13:14, Proverbs 13:14, Proverbs 14:27, I'm going to repeat them.
Okay.
Psalms 36:9,
mm-hmm.
Proverbs 13:14, Proverbs 14:27,
mm-hmm.
And Psalms 87:7.
I was kind of slow. Can you repeat those again?
Psalms 36:9. Proverbs 13:14, Proverbs 14:27,
mm-hmm.
Psalms 87:7.
Okay.
Okay, so here we go. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. In you is the fountain of life. In who? In God, in Jesus. And Jesus is where? He's in you. In me is the fountain of life. And in this fountain of life there is light. And in this light I see light.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, the flame.
Mm.
The divine essence produces the divine flame, the revelation. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
I love the word fountain. For in you is the fountain of life. Mm-hmm. Fountains number 47:26. Y'all, you're going to love this. If you don't come undone, I'm... Something dug. You got to dig it. It's in you, but you got to dig it. Something dug. You got to put some effort into it. You remember the Old Testament? What was the thing they would do when they came against God's people? They'd close up the mouth of the whale. And when Jacob passed that way, what was his instructions? To re-dig the well. To open it back up. Glory to God. Something dug. A source of water, even when naturally flowing. Also of tears. It's a figure of happiness, of wisdom. It means issue, or well, or spring. So look at this. For in you is the happiness of life. In your light do I see light. For in you is the wisdom of life. In your light do we see light. For in you is the issue of life. In your light do we see light. For in you is the spring or the well of life. And in your light do we see light. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Proverbs 13:14. The teaching, that's why we study His Word. That's why we read and we study His Word. We take it as honey, as food, as a nourishment for life. Proverbs 13:14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Wow. The teaching of the wise. Now, why? If you were wise, why would you need to be taught?
Say that one.
Yeah. The teaching. And it's like, you know what it is? It's like the more wisdom you get and the more you share it,
yes,
the wiser you become.
Yes.
The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. When you get wisdom and you teach it, you have become a fountain of life. His word is life, right?
Right.
Look at this. The teaching of the wise is the fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. Then he goes on to say, good understanding wins favor. So if you get taught good, favor follows. Proverbs 14:27, reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. That's the snares of the devil. So, the teaching of the wise, or this fountain of life, and walking in this light, enables us to escape every snare or trap of the devil. 87:7. The singers as well as the players on instruments shall say, all my springs, my sources of life and joy are in you, city of our God. That's the Amplified Translation. The singers as well as the players on instruments shall say, all my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. You are the source of my life. Oh my. For with you is a fountain of life, and in your light do I see light. A believer should never walk around saying, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But a believer should walk around saying, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do I see light.
Mm-hmm.
In your light do I see light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So, let's move on. Let's go on to some of our notes. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's going to connect with this. But we're going to look at some of our notes first on page 3, like I promised you we would do. The flame, the divine revelation, the divine essence. Of course, Song of Solomon. Y'all know that's always my personal favorite. I always go there. I'm just going to ask you to look at, well, I'm just going to look at one. Let's just look at one. And I didn't bring the Amplified Bible, so I have the NLT, the New Living. I'm not going to look at all these. Let's just look at Song of Solomon 8:6. Because I want to make another point here, so I want to go on. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love all of his wealth, with all of his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. This flame, this love, this passion is what I'm talking about. This divine revelation, this divine essence, it's a passion and a love for God. Just like Oswald Chambers was talking about, guard well your relationship with God, your faith in God. Guard it well. We're coming in a time right now, and this is my exhortation to us. And it's encouraging. It's not meant to be discouraging, but it is our exhortation. It is an exhortation, and with an exhortation, it can initially sound like it's hard. But if you listen to all of it and you're willing to be corrected by it, in the end, it will turn out to be good for you. Well, let's do look at the Song of Solomon 3 since we're over here. Let's go back to chapter 3. Let's look at this one real quick. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 8. I have the wrong scripture reference there. And I always check this and checked it twice, I thought. Okay. Well.
Is that the one about the sword?
No. It's, I'm going to have to get that one for you. My notes are not right. It could be chapter 2. And I checked this and checked it twice. Okay. It should be chapter 2. If you change that in your notes. Yeah, it's 2. My apologies. It should be Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8 through 15. I'm not going to read all that. But this has to do with a drawing away. I hear my lover coming. He is leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a swift gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he is behind the wall, looking through the window, peering into the room. My lover said to me, "Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one." Going down to verse 14. The dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind an outcrop on the cliff. "Let me see your face," he's saying. This is Lord Jesus to us. "Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming." And here she goes. "My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee. Return to me, my love, my gazelle, like or a young stag on the rugged mountains." This is a picture here of intimacy, of drawing into God. Jesus is saying, "Come away with me. Come away with me, my fair one, my darling." And then he corresponds back to her by saying, "You are my beloved. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice." This is speaking of this divine essence, this drawing away that God wants to draw us away into himself. Let's go to Isaiah 26:20. Then I'm going to wrap it up with another thought here. Isaiah 26:20. And read those as you will, and let the Lord give you more. This is just a place to start with, but let him give you more and share what he gives you with us, please. As you do that, please do that.
Isaiah 26,
verse 20. "Go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide yourself for a little while until the Lord's anger has passed. Look, the Lord is coming from heaven to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will no longer hide those who have been killed. They will be brought out for all to see." Jesus said there is a time coming when everything that's been spoken in secret will be shouted from the housetop.
Yes.
No longer will people be able to hide for the evil things that they have done, but they will be brought out into the open for all to see. Now, I want to give us this exhortation because I would not be worth anything as a pastor if I didn't share this, if I did not share this with you, okay? And I am not even going to, if you want to know the source of this, you can certainly get with me after church and I will give you the source of this, but it's not about this person because this person would say it's not about them. It's about his love for the body of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm just going to share this with you. I'm just going to put it out here on the table and you seek God about it. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be prophetic to know that we can't continue on like this. That something's got to change
that's
in our
right.
nation. Is that correct?
Amen.
You don't have to be prophetic. You got to have your head buried in the sand if you don't realize that something is stirring
yes.
in the atmosphere.
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
That there is going to be a judgment that's coming in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come for the end of this year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come for the end of this year. This is the word the Lord gave to this gentleman who does not himself claim to be a prophet. I heard him on Sid Roth, Carmen. He shared it with me. This man's been around for a while, but he's not really well publicized. He doesn't put himself out there. You know, he doesn't even call himself a prophet, but Sid, you know, called him that. Some other things he has said has come to pass. But I'm going to tell you this. People are always saying, well, God didn't warn us. God didn't warn us. God didn't warn us. Well, see, God is warning us. We can't say that. We can't say that. And I'm not going to be one of those pastors that don't speak the truth. I'm not going to be like that. You know why? Because God's going to hold me. He's not going to hold you. He's going to hold me accountable that I knew something. What did we read last week about the prophets? That if you go tell them and they repent, what's going to happen? And they repent, then everything's good. But if you go tell them and they don't repent, then, you know, that's between them and me. Their blood's on their own hand. But if I tell you to go tell them and you don't tell them, then I'm going to require their blood at your hand. Yeah. Y'all, that's serious.
Yes.
Y'all, that's serious. That's serious. Okay, so here we go. Judgment is going to begin like a massive moral earthquake. Don't think about an earthquake in the natural. I'm talking about a massive moral earthquake. Like I said, I'll share this reference with you after church if you want to know. Where does judgment start? When I start as a believer to start condemning and look at other people and condemn their life, first of all, I have got to deal with myself before God because I am bringing judgment back on myself if I don't do that. I've told you before that verse we just love to quote. Casting down every vain imagination and every high and lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Good, that's solid, that's sound. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. But do we know what the next verse says? Being found ready to punish every form of disobedience when you yourself are found to be in obedience with God.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't shake your world.
Yeah.
False pastors. That's where you're going to see it first. False pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Who are preaching an agenda, and they're not preaching you need to get right with God.
Yeah.
Celebrities.
Whoa.
That's going to be the next area you're going to see it with celebrities. Why? You know, in all these areas, I want you to think about one thing in all these areas when I finish. Politician and governmental leaders. That's the third area. And the next area is going to be millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Four areas. Now, what do you think about? Why? People that have influence. Mm-hmm. See, if God has given you influence in your life, you better, with fear and trembling, you use it. Because you're influencing people to go the right way or the wrong way, y'all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What is this supposed to do? We're supposed to sit here and go, yeah, God, give him. Yeah, God, get them, get them. No, you're supposed to humble yourself before God and pray for them.
Yes.
Amen.
Especially of the household of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Especially of the household of faith. Isaiah 26:20. What must we do? Go in your house and barricade and go buy all the water and go buy all the canned goods you can get and build your little bunker and stack up on your ammunition and your guns. No! 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 Two things. First one is to draw inward to God. That's why we're studying Shin, y'all. The fire, the flame. Draw inward to God. Draw into the divine essence. That's the first thing. Y'all, the most protected person on the face of this earth is the one that is drawn in and lives in the secret place of the Most High and abides in the shadow of the Almighty. Dean and I had a demonstration of it this week where something was tried to be stolen from us, but God revealed it at the right time. The weapon was formed, but it didn't even prosper or carry out.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm a tither.
Yeah.
I'm a tither. And you know what? You what? Because I honor God with my first fruits.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Those, my parents sitting in there, they get our first fruits. I honored God with my first fruits. It was Sam when I sat under him, Pastor Sam. I honored God with my first fruits. I honored God with it. And what does God say? God says, when you honor him with the first fruits, well, we just read it in Romans. The whole batch is holy. Yeah. All that money that was sitting in there in that account, that was holy unto God. It was holy unto God.
Yes.
And God got involved in it. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Second, listen for direction from God. Listen for direction from God. You listen to God for direction. That's what I love about this man. He didn't say, you go do this and you need to do that and you need to do that. You have the Spirit of God in you. You listen for direction from God. I haven't found the scripture reference, but I'm going to find it. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will know how to prepare? When the trumpet was blown, it was for different reasons. They knew what the sound of the trumpet meant to do. But if it sounds uncertain, how do you know how to prepare? That's why you have to draw into God and listen. So you have to know what God wants you to do. Before a great awakening, there must be a rude awakening. A spirit to come on the body of Christ that we will realize we are going to do great things for God, great things we've never done before. The anointing of God will become stronger than evil. Why is judgment coming? Drastic measure, because God loves America.
Yes.
And he is selectively and surgically removing people.
Yes. Yes, he is.
It already started.
Yes.
It already started. Isaiah 26:20. The God is doing an inner work to remove fear. The righteous will shine. Evil will be turned over, overturned. Operate in signs and wonders with purity. The world will come seeking God. Something new. We're becoming vessels of fire and glory. Becoming vessels of fire and glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deception is the number one problem. Yes. Be careful how you hear and what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Asking the Lord and believing God that you're going to become disaster proof. Yes. Disaster proof. What God is doing in you is more important than what is going to happen around you.
Hallelujah.
What he's doing in you. Listen to the voice of God. The body of Christ will be divided into two groups. Those who are getting along with God and not panicking. And those who are not getting along with God and are panicking. The greatest survival technique in the world is to draw closer to God. Judgment is surgical. Every successful surgeon removes what is killing you.
Hallelujah.
God is going to remove, surgically root out, and surgically remove certain sects. S-E-C-T-S. Groups of people.
Yeah.
Okay. On the one hand, okay, Isaiah 8:11. If I didn't put that in your notes, you need to put that in your notes. And I'm wrapping it up. Isaiah 8:11. You need to write that down. See, this is our warning, y'all, to do what?
Yeah.
To draw into God.
Yeah.
Every true prophet of God, when they saw the evil in their nation, what did they do? They repented on their behalf too.
Yes.
They repented.
Yes.
They saw themselves as a part of that. This is my country. I repent for my country. I don't say, God, sick them on high. Get them, God. Mm-hmm. Knock them down. You know, I mean, God's going to do that anyway. I don't really, you know. Okay. 8:11. I guess this is my thing. I'm not rejoicing in anyone's calamity. I want all people to repent and come to the knowledge of God. I don't want to rejoice. David had a revelation. He said, if you start to rejoice, who but knows that God might turn and come on you. I might turn and come back on you. I mean, that's scriptural. That is scriptural right there. Okay. 8:11. Then I'm going to wrap it up. 8:11. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. Isaiah 8:11. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does.
Yes.
Look at the rest of this. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. Mm-hmm. And don't live in dread of what frightens them.
Amen.
Make the Lord of Heaven's army holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe.
Amen.
Got it? Isaiah 3:10. Go back. Isaiah 3:10. What does this fire do? This fire of God burns all fear because perfect love casts out all fear. The one who has fear has torment.
Yep.
Because fear carries with it the idea of being punished.
Yeah.
But perfect love casts out all fear.
Yes,
he is perfect. Yes, he is perfect. Isaiah 3:10. Tell the godly that it will be well for them. They will enjoy the rich reward they have earned. But the wicked are doomed, for they will get exactly what they deserve. See the two? The two here? Amen. I'm going to read this for you, and then we're going to wrap it up. Draw in close to God. That's what this year is about, the fire. Living out of the source, the divine essence of who God is. Living out of the source. Nancy, when you said what you said about the angels that surround me, I haven't had, that experience that Dina I've had, and that I had, yes, I don't know if it was, it was 2019, where evil was meant toward me, but it didn't prosper. I mean, evil was right in my face. I mean, it was right in my face.
No, that thing.
It was right in my face, but it did not.
It didn't prosper.
It did not prosper. It did not prosper. Not only was it that it didn't prosper, it was that in your light I see light.
Mm-hmm.
In you are all my fountains of life. It is crucial to draw into God and guard your relationship with Him above anything else. It's not worth getting into strife.
No,
it's not worth getting into debate.
No,
it's not worth your opinion. Our opinion does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't amount to anything. It's what God says. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And because you draw into Him and all your fountains are in Him and there is life, you will see things other people don't see. And you will see and recognize things, even in the middle of danger, God will show you the escape and the way out.
Yes.
He'll cause you to see things. He'll cause you not to even fear.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this for you, and then I'm going to wrap it up. This book I found in my library, I don't even know how I got this book. I don't even know, but I read it very carefully. The title is Make Your Life Worthwhile. And it's, have I ever heard of Emmett Fox? This book was publishing was in the 40s, 1942. But look at this, The Lion and the Donkey. I'm talking about fear. The one great enemy of the human race is fear. The less fear you have, the more health and harmony you will have. Fear can make you physically sick.
Yes.
And it'll get you out of harmony with God. You can't think straight. That's why I say people that are always argumentative, always getting into arguments, they live in fear.
Yeah.
I don't care what you call yourself. If you call yourself a Christian or if you call yourself a believer,
right.
If you are always getting into strife and argument, you live in fear.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all been there. Mm-hmm.
Cast it out. Get rid of it. How do you cast out fear? I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on me because he trusts in me. Hallelujah. Perfect love. Your perfect love casts all fear out. You have not given me a spirit of bondage again to fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. The one great enemy of the human race is fear. The less you fear, the more health and harmony you will have. The more you fear, the more trouble of one kind or another will come into your life. The only real problem of mankind is to get rid of fear. When you really do not fear a situation, it cannot hurt you. Hello?
Yeah.
Walked in it,
Amen.
Been there.
Amen.
I know it.
Yep.
I was so aware in that situation that I was not going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I did not fear. Of course, you must remember that fear often exists in the subconscious mind without your necessarily being aware of it. The best evidence that you have gotten rid of fear concerning a particular subject is a sense of joy and happiness about it. If you can think about it with joy and happiness, then you have conquered fear in that area. If you cannot think about it with joy and happiness, then there's still fear in that area.
Amen.
The great thing to remember is that fear is a bluffer. Call its bluff and it will collapse.
Yes.
And these are true incidences. Listen to this, y'all. This is the power. This is the power of peace, and this is the power of fear. An amusing incident happened in Holland a number of years ago. A lion escaped from a traveling circus. True story. True story. A lion escaped from a traveling circus. Not far away, a good housewife was sewing near the open window of her living room. The animal suddenly sprang in, dashed by her like a flash, rushed into the hall, and took refuge in a triangular cupboard under the staircase. The startled woman supposed it to be a donkey.
Yeah, why would it be a lion?
And indignant at the muddy print that had left on her clean floor, she pursued it into the dark closet among the brooms and pans and proceeded to thrash it unmercifully with a broom. The animal shook with terror, and the angry woman redoubled the force of her blows. Then four men arrived with guns and nets and recaptured the animal. The terrified lion gave himself up quietly, only too glad to escape from the dreadful woman. When the good woman discovered that she had been beating a lion, get this, she fainted away and was ill for several days. Fear did that. When she didn't have fear, she conquered. Are you getting the spiritual point? But when she realized, when she let fear come in and realized it was a lion, she got physically sick. The story illustrates perfectly the demoralizing power of fear. Our good housewife completely dominated the lion as long as she thought it was a donkey. And as long as she treated him as a donkey, the lion thought she was very powerful and was an abject fear to her. When she discovered her mistake, the old belief of fear came back. And although she was now perfectly safe, she still reacted in accordance with fear.
Yes.
Get rid of fear.
Yeah.
Concentrate your fire on that.
Yes.
On what?
On
God, on the divine essence of God. And other things will take care of themselves.
Yes.
See what I'm talking about? Go shut yourself in with God while He deals with the wicked around you.
Yes.
You will go unscathed. It will not touch you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Get rid of fear.
The treatment against fear is to realize and make real to yourself. That's what realize means. To realize something, it means to make real to yourself. Make it real to yourself. Realize it. Make it real to yourself, the presence of God with you and His unchanging love.
Amen.
May it be real with you that the presence of God is with you and His unchanging love. And then he quotes 1 John 4:18, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fathers, pray. Father, we thank you that you warned us. You said, "In keeping your word is your servant warned."
Yes.
You said you never do anything unless you speak and warn us. So warn your servant first, Father.
Yes.
So, Father, we have heard your warning that, God, we know that there are some things that have to change in our land, in the earth, God.
Yes.
Father, you have protected America for many, many years. You've kept us from many things, God. But now, Lord, you're causing a shaking up. You're causing a shaking up, Father. You're causing, you're bringing this shaking up, Father. And I know it's for a greater glory.
Yes.
I know it's for a greater glory to be revealed through your church, Father. And I believe all of us today accept that commission from you, God.
Mm.
We accept that commission to draw ourselves into you that we might walk in the greater glory, that we might walk in the greater goodness of who you are, Father.
Mm.
We have the answers, Father. And Father, you have promised in your word, Lord, that you would protect us, that those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, where no foe can withstand us. And that we will say of you, Lord, you are our strength, you are our fortress, you are our refuge, in you we do trust. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your promise, God, that we draw in close to you, Lord, and only as a spectator shall we see the reward of the wicked. God, we know you have to deal with things, Father. And we pray concerning these areas, Lord, just like it wasn't easy for this man to say these things, Father. So we pray in these areas, Father. We pray for church leaders, Father. We pray for our governmental leaders, Father. We pray for celebrities, Father. We pray for those that are rich, Lord, that they will use their influence, Father God, to do what is right in your eyes, Father. That they would repent and turn to you, God, to do what is right. Yes. Father, grant America the gift of repentance. Yes. I believe that, Lord. Yes. That repentance is a gift. Yes. It's a gift from you, God. Grant, give us the gift of repentance, Father. Yes. And teach us, show us, teach us, Father. Give us, Father, the gift of tears to truly be remorseful. And to regret, Father, to realize, Father, that when we sin against one another, we've sinned against you.
Yeah.
It's you that we've sinned against, Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, to humble ourselves before you, to resist the enemy. You made us a promise we would have to flee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I want everybody to notice our guest.